Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, Derek Riley of Nevo.ie will be here with all of the latest news and reviews from the world of EVs. Later in the show, we'll hear about a new platform that looks to support jobs and economic transition in the Midlands. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. I do hope you're well. We have plenty to get through over the next hour. So let's kick off with Derek Riley of Nevo.ie. Derek, I have been watching you on Instagram and you've done almost 30 flights so far this year. Where in the world have you been?
So far this year, Jess, I have done 24 flights into and out of Dublin. So lots of travelling, lots of car launches. There was 7 launches in March. It's crazy times in the world of electric vehicles. And 5 years ago, I was wondering if there was going to be enough to keep me going. But yeah, it is full time. Really enjoying it, but a lot of travelling, a lot of travelling. The dog doesn't know my name at the moment, Jess.
it does seem exhausting, but there's a lot to show for it because, as you said, the launches and the announcements have been coming thick and fast. And I want to start with Renault because there's a new lovely looking, but also classic looking car from them.
Yeah, the Twingo. We would have seen this in Ireland over the years, a release in 1991. We didn't get the first generation. The French didn't want to give it a right-hand drive market. So the UK and Ireland didn't get it, but we got Gen 2 and Gen 3, and this is the fourth generation. They would have sold over 4 million over the years, and it's a small A-segment city car. And back when it was launched, 25% of all cars sold in Europe were A-segment, this small. Whereas now in Europe, it's 5%. And I was just looking at the stats this morning in Ireland. Only 1% of cars sold in Ireland this year are that A segment size. So hopefully this will bring back small city cars to the electric side of things.
When we say small cars, because I'm looking at a picture of it now, is this aimed at, you know, maybe first time drivers or people who are looking for the city spin around, maybe a second car?
Yeah, all of the above. It could be empty nesters. It could be a person starting off their driving career. It is anybody that will, it's a four-seater. So that is going to qualify or disqualify some people straight away. And it has a range of about 263 kilometers. Real world, probably 200 to 220. So if you only need 4 seats and you need around 200 kilometers, this may be the car for you.
What are we talking in terms of moolah?
Get straight down to it, Jess. Not even just, come on, a small bit of, I'm joking. They're looking at launching this under 20,000 euros.
Wow, okay. Look, because the reason I ask is, in terms of that second car or else first time driver thing, I do think that there is an appetite for something like this that's not going to take up a huge amount of space in the driveway or on the path or wherever you park it. But in terms of the tech inside, are you compromising on that because of the price point?
By no means. A great question. And obviously in Tech Talk, we're going to talk about the tech. Google built in. So it has an Android-based system. It has Android Auto, Apple CarPlay wireless. It has 24 driver assistance. So the likes of cross-traffic alert, reversing alert, open door alert. So if you've got kiddies in the back and a car or a cyclist comes up along the side, it'll give it a beep at that. It auto parks for under 20,000 euros. You're starting to tick an awful lot of boxes. It has one pedal driving for your EV listeners out there. You just lift your foot off the accelerator and it'll actually come to a stop without having to press the brake. This is a feature that isn't on a lot of bigger, more expensive cars. And the Renault Twingo, after putting it into it, no more than self-parking. You drive past a space, press a button, and it will reverse in, park in, front, back, a couple of different options. And it's so small, I don't think you'd need that feature, but it just shows that the level of features that it does have on board, very impressed with the tech of it.
So this is stupid question time. How are they able to do all of this at such an affordable price point?
Great question. This is the fastest Renault and I don't mean speed-wise. They developed this car in 100 weeks.
Wow.
So just under 2 years, they came up with the idea of bringing back the Twingo and making it electric. They designed it in France. They shipped it off to a Chinese sub company called ACDC, not the band. And they used their Chinese tech and wizardry. And now it's going to be made in Slovenia. So it's designed in Europe, researched and built out in China, but actual physically built in Slovenia. So it was all about speed. It was all about costs. It was all about what do we need, what don't we need, weight, range, but not compromising on tech or safety. So I was very, very impressed with it. And they know that they need to be hitting a certain price point because there are other people in the market, the likes of Dacia Spring, the likes of BYD Dolphin Surf Mini, and so Dolphin Surf, sorry. So there are other small cars out there. Hyundai Inster is another one. And they're selling well. So Renault need to get this right. We don't have confirmed Irish prices yet, but the Renault keeps saying they want to launch it at under 20,000 euros.
I know you said it's a four-seater. I'm just looking at the back of one of them. There's three of them in the picture I'm looking at, and one is kind of, you could see the boot. What's the crack in terms of boot space?
Great. Yes, you have all the good questions. People swear that we actually scripted this.
It's almost like it's my job to ask questions, Eric.
Jeez. Over the last number of years, we're rubbing off at each other. The rear seats independently slide forward and back. So if you've got nobody in the back, you can slide either left or right or both forward to have an even larger boot to 320 litres. And there is a subwell in underneath that as well. So you can have store your cables or stuff that you don't use on a regular basis. And again, so I was surprised at it. You can also knock those seats down, and on the Techno trim, which is their top trim that comes in two different trims, you can knock down the passenger seat in the front as well. So if you wanted to buy a Twingo and you're into the surfing side of things, or you were fond of going to a flat pack furniture shop, you could get up to 2 meters of an item through the side, up the passenger side into this small city car. They're really thinking about the practicality of it. And I saw a commercial version of this when I was over in Spain as well. So for the likes of food deliveries, any type of deliveries, it was a cage in the back and they removed the seats. So again, perfect for whipping around the place, delivering stuff.
I know it's not like the most snazzy of cars that we've spoken about in the last wee while, but I'm actually excited about this. I kind of say the same thing to John Riley when he's on the show as well. I'm so impressed when brands and manufacturers can do something on a budget that's practical, decent to look at, and ticks so many boxes that you could put this in anybody's drive almost, and it would fulfill a certain amount of the need that they have.
It doesn't look cheap. It doesn't feel... there are some economical plastics. It is tech heavy. And so, yeah, it's not compromised in a lot of different ways. Now, it is to a price, so you will feel some scratchy plastics here and there. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it would sit on anybody's driveway and they'd be proud of it. It looks well. It's colourful. It's something different on the road. If we get it in Ireland with a price that's good, that's people can see, and it's not about the overall sticker price, it's the monthlies then as well. So it'll be down to that, and the Irish consumer doesn't belong telling you whether they think it's good value or not.
Yeah, no, I have to say, and even the point on the scratchy plastics, I think, yes, there are certain people, and I can think of two in my head right now that I know personally who would care about stuff like that. But again, if you're getting something at, and as you say, it depends on the monthly price and all the rest, but if you're getting something that is, you know, equates to what you're paying for it, and you go in eyes wide open, that's the definition of good value.
100%. And as I said, it looks great. It has the tech. So the only one or two compromises are some of the material choices, but it's not a premium luxury Mercedes.
No.
Except you know what you're buying. So yeah, I think they've done a great job of packaging it up, and it should do very well.
Yeah, okay. I'm excited about that one. You've got another good looking one today, because sometimes they are horrific looking, but we have the Kia EV2, which is a gorgeous looking yoke.
Yeah, B segment, so just slightly bigger than Twingo, so it's about small EVs at the start of the segment anyway, Jess. And this is going to be their most affordable electric vehicle. Again, we haven't got Irish prices confirmed. I have visibility on German prices, and that's coming in at 26,000 euros. So this is the next segment up to the Twingo, and it's more SUV, so it's a taller stance. So whereas in the Twingo, in the back, I'd be a small bit head tilted to get in underneath the roof. This one, no problem sitting in behind. And again, like the Twingo, they're thinking about versatility with the EV2. You will have an option of a four-seater or a five-seater. If it's the four-seater, you'll have independent sliding rear seats so you can have a bigger boot. I did a survey on the YouTube channel there, and around 50% of people said, you know what, a four-seater is all I need. And then others were saying, I actually do need the five-seater. Now, this is a different beast with regards to range. This can go over 460 kilometers. And so you're talking, could be a primary car if you're looking for a small car. EV2, their EV3 is in the top five selling electric vehicles so far this year. So you can start to see where the naming convention is working out. I did ask them about EV1 and they said, listen, we've enough to be focusing on at the moment. But I assume they've trademarked it and they have the patent or the licensing for it. But at the moment, EV2, and again, this size car does very well in Europe. This is going to be built in Europe, whereas Twingo's Slovenia, this is Slovakia. It's been built and it's only going to be available in Europe as well. So the international manufacturers are looking at markets and saying, OK, Europe is EV hungry at the moment. People want electric. And with the recent price spikes with the petrol and diesel at the pumps, people are going like on Evo. We saw an increase of 58% on the website since the price shock, where people are saying, I'm not paying this at the pump anymore. I need to have a look at electric vehicles. So there's a lot of interest out there at the moment. And it's when it hits you in the pocket, that's when we really find it. And Kia are saying, you know what, and Kia still sell petrol, diesel, hybrids, plug-in hybrids and electric. So like a lot of manufacturers, they're betting on everything and making sure that they're providing quality products. But yeah, the EV2, I drove it in Lisbon a couple of weeks ago. It was a horrible day, but just so I'd say, I don't put up the horrible days on Instagram, Jess, so you think it's all sunshine and cocktails. But I'm glad you like the look of it. That blue is very interesting, and that shape, it's a real little boxy mini SUV if you're a little heading around the town. But with that range, you could do the coast to coast down to Belmullet, I suspect.
Yeah, I just, again, it's interesting to see the diversity of the offering. Like, it's continuing to spread out so that there is kind of something for everybody. One thing actually, Derek, a friend of mine is looking to buy a car at the moment. It's her first, she just passed her test, she got in ahead of me, and she was saying one thing she'd never considered but only came to realize was when she went to some showrooms and sat in a car. She doesn't like cars that have a long nose. Like, she kind of likes to be able to see almost the front of the bonnet. Is that something, like, is that a normal consideration, or is my friend a weirdo? Please tell me.
Not at all. No, listen, you're not socializing with weirdos, Jess. It is more so to do with confidence in driving. And once you know the vehicle that you are driving on a regular basis, you'll know the extremities and where the corners are. Some people do like to see the edge of the bonnet or the rear wing or the side, whatever it may be. Whereas others would say, I'm confident, I know. And a lot of these cars now come with parking sensors, so they have the beeps, as a friend of mine says. Not that you should be reliant on them. You should be able to park the car without any of those assists anyway. But no, it's not a weird thing. And so it may mean she just likes a different form factor. She might like a lower car, which you can see the bonnet, where some of the taller cars hide that bonnet from you because you're sitting up so straight. So not at all. It's a great question. And that's the value of going to different showrooms or to events where you can sit in a lot of different vehicles and go, I like how I can see out of this. I like the seating position. I like the visibility. I talk about all this stuff in the video. So it is definitely important.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually sent her to your YouTube channel because the one of the things that I only know because I get taxis quite a bit. Sometimes if I get into a taxi and the car is very low, like the driver just seems very low. So I told her to go to your YouTube and just see, because you do comment on stuff like that. And I don't think it's something that you consider unless you are in the market to buy a car.
Yeah, I talk about visibility when I sit in, go for the drive. I talk about the side mirrors, the visibility of the wrap, the back, the side and the front. And I talk about my height as well. And I was at a show recently and somebody came up to me and says, hello, Mr. 188 centimeters. And I was like, what is he talking about? That's what he called me. So she'll know then if she's shorter than me. Okay, if Derek can see out like that. So it's all about comparison and contrast to know where you are. She might be taller than me. I don't know.
She's not. She's about the same as me, which is 5'4" on a good day. Well, that is interesting and useful information as always. Briefly, we want to talk about the new Ferrari.
Yeah. So we know what's going to power it. Ferrari are putting a lot of effort into this electric car. Sometimes it's a bit of a token gesture, but we do have now the interior shots. A couple of weeks ago in Los Angeles, I was unable to attend. Johnny Ives and his team of new design house from Love. love from. Let's get that correct. Former Apple, so look at the worlds colliding here with tech and EVs, Jess. And he has designed, and his team have designed, the interior of the new Luce, which is the Italian for light. And it is very Apple-esque. If you look at the tablet or the infotainment screen in the middle, if I said it looks like a big Apple Watch to the dash, but it is very much about tactility, where a lot of EVs in the last couple of years have gone screen heavy. This is very much buttons, knobs, clickies, rollers, physical switches. There's a proper toggle in the roof for boost or sport mode, where you feel like a fighter pilot in Top Gun, where you flick the switch and the Ferrari will go into boost mode. So there's been a lot of buzz, pardon the pun, about this and hype. We're going to see the exterior of this next month, in April or May. And so, yeah, a lot of people are interested to see how Ferrari, a traditional luxury petrol-powered manufacturer, are going to dip their toe into the world of fully electric vehicles. So there's a lot riding on this, and this has been getting some positive from the tech side of the house, but some Ferrari enthusiasts are not happy with some of the switches and choices there. But yeah, there's a nice merging of the two different worlds there.
Do you know, I'm just looking at a picture you sent me there, so I can see the infotainment or whatever it's called, and it is like, it's rounded edges, beautiful, uncluttered, lovely screen, same with the dash and all the rest. I do like that there's the physical buttons and twists and all the rest, because I was at, I mentioned it on the show last week, I was in Latvia at Radio Days at Europe, and there was one of the sessions I was at, and it was about in-car listening. But a guy, I mentioned it last week, but anyway, a guy was teaching his daughter how to drive. She's 17, and he asked her to turn on the radios in FM. And it took her 9 touches of the touchscreen to find the radio. And it just showed to me, because I'm not a driver, it just showed to me how unintuitive, or the lack of intuitive design with some of the operating systems. Because if you have to do anything, if I had to do 9 touches to get to Instagram on my phone or whatever it is, my screen time would be much better, but it wouldn't be as good an experience. And so I do think there's still a case and a value to having the buttons and the twisty bits and all the rest to navigate to what it is that matters to you when you're driving your car.
2 quick points on that. Actual FM modules are being removed from some cars moving forward. So they're looking to stream everything so that they can track to see who's streaming what. But on the other point about physical knobs and buttons, we can see where Euro NCAP, the crash test authority in Europe, are actually going to start penalizing if there isn't physical buttons. And it's to do when you're driving along and concentrating on the road, that ideally you should be able to reach over and know third knob from the right is radio, or fourth button from the left is aircon. So you shouldn't have to look at the screen 9 times. And so, as much as you say it's an inconvenience, it's more a safety factor of eyes off the road. It should be intuitive, and it should be muscle memory automatic to be able to turn on your air conditioning or turn down the radio if something's happening very quickly.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was an interesting one. And that's something we might come back to actually at another stage. But let's press on with our agenda for this week. The regional driving experiences with Nevo, you are going around the country, you're on tour.
Yeah, it's not always about what's inside the M50, we've been told, as a proud Mayo man. And so we bring in the Nevo driving experience in partnership with Bank of Ireland around the country. We've done Cork last month, and it was phenomenal. We're one of our biggest ever. We had 1,700 people through the door, and we did over 200 test drives. We're going to be in Kildare at the end of April. You can head over to nevo.ie to register for your free ticket. And then in May, Waterford, and in June, we're going to be Sligo. So if you have been to the show, or you've heard about our show, and you're interested in coming along, seeing cars, talking to local dealers, doing test drives, and you just can't make it up to Dublin, or you just don't want to come to Dublin, we're bringing the Nevo experience around the country to those 4 different locations, and we're getting a great experience. And different questions, Jess. You can imagine, from a more urban-centric audience, it is different questions to what we're hearing from the south of the country or the west of the country. So yeah, it's been real good.
I'm assuming that there's no obligation to buy or to sign up to anything or anything like that on these days.
Not at all. Free to go. So all we need to do is you just need to register, number one, because we have a limit on the capacity of people we can get into the building, mm-hmm. just for fire regulations, etc. And then, come along, have a look at the cars. You'll get an email to say, would you like to test drive some cars? We'll give you a list. There's no obligation there either. There's no obligation to buy. We have stage shows as well, so people can come along and listen to usually myself talk, waffling on about different, if you're thinking about going electric or you've just gone electric, some top tips or some dispelling some myths. So yeah, it's a real day out for the family and also a day of education and to see what's in the marketplace. There's a lot of the new electric vehicles will be there as well. So it's like a mini Dublin show is how we're framing it.
Okay, Derek. So nevo.ie for all the details. And if you do go along and you see Derek, make sure you bring your measuring tape to verify his height.
Thanks, Derek.
Just for the crack. Finally, on the list this week, a new yoke from Škoda.
Škoda, you have to say Škoda, yes, thank you so much. And Škoda's biggest and best-selling car at the moment is the Kodiaq, which comes in a couple of different powertrains, but it doesn't come in electric. And Škoda said a lot of people are looking for 7-seaters in electric, and they didn't offer it, so they're calling their new 7-seat electric the Peak, P-E-A-Q. All of Škoda's SUVs end in a Q, so Kodiaq, Enyaq, Epeak, etc., etc. So, fun fact that nobody really wants to know. But the Škoda Peak, I got a covered drive. So, this is where they bring journalists along. It was in a really tough location of Lake Como in Italy. And we were driving. I know. I had to do it though. We were driving along, and they don't allow us to talk about too much, but it is very good. And if, again, like the Twingo at the other end of the scale, a small 4-seater, this 7-seater, if they get the price right, this will be, if not as, even more popular than their Kodiaq. So this will come in a 5- and a 7-seater, fully electric, and ranges on the bigger battery of over 600 kilometers. We don't have prices indicated at all yet, but new interior, new infotainment. Again, I can't speak too much about it, but it was just the drive I was on. Really good, really great to see it. Because there are families out there that want to be a bit more sustainable, or also watching the fuel costs and an electric 7-seater. We're getting more and more of them in the marketplace.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll have more information on that when we can. But just in relation to the fuel prices, because obviously, as you said, this is something that people have been talking about, thinking about, listening about over the last little while. Like, stupid question again, but if somebody is nervous about what's going on in the world and are watching the money and all the rest, is now the time to move to EV, or should they go into hybrid? Like, how do you make the call on what's right for you? Let's just go through this again.
Yeah, so it's down to, can you charge at home? If you can charge at home, you can avail of the lower tariffs for charging overnight. And that will come in around 30% of a running cost of a petrol or diesel. So it's understanding, can you charge at home, number one? Number two, what's your normal daily, weekly route like? If you're driving from Belmont to Dublin every day, an EV may not be for you. It may be better for you to stay in diesel. But if you could charge either end of that journey on the cheaper overnight. So there's a small bit of working out to do. What I find is if you are currently in a model and you go into a dealer, whatever brand that dealer is, they'll be very good at showing you the different options, whether it's hybrid, plug-in hybrid, full electric, and understanding what would work best for you, because they don't want to sell you the wrong car because you're just going to be back and give it out to them. And they want a happy customer so that you'll tell all your friends and family and neighbours. And so the dealer should be able to qualify you in or out. As we both know, Jess, I have four younger brothers, and none of them drive electric yet. So I'm not about convincing people to go electric. I'm always about giving them the education and saying, this is all the facts about electric. This is what you could do in this car. This is how much it was going to cost you to run every week, every month, every year. Does that work for you? And then crunching the numbers on the finance. And whether it's a new or used, there's lots of articles, videos, etc., information over on our website, or obviously email into you, Jess, and we'll chat about it on the next segment when we chat about electric vehicles. But a lot of people are looking at electric now because you can lock in your electricity prices for 12 or 24 months, whereas the pumps are at the mercy of what's happening at global level. And it goes up very fast. It doesn't come down very fast, whatever the excuses are. But whereas at least I know what it's costing me to run my electric vehicle now, whereas I couldn't tell you what it's going to cost to run a petrol or a diesel. And then that comes back to, is a hybrid going to be good for me, or is a plug-in hybrid? Again, how much petrol or diesel you think you're going to be using, because that's where the volatility is. Whereas with electric, and I'm not saying electric is going to get away with it. There are going to be gas is increases and electricity is going to be connected with gas. But I know I've locked in my energy prices in my house until X with the contract. And then I can go back out and shop in the market and see what's the best price for me. So there's a bit more stability in the electric side of things. Public charging is expensive, but again, a lot of people are able to charge at home. So the big one is, can you charge at home and then crunch the numbers?
Okay, excellent advice as always. And it is probably an opportune time if you are in Kildare, Waterford, Sligo to go to nevo.ie, see when it's coming to town and ask the question, see the cars and make a decision for yourself. Derek, as always, it's a pleasure. I will talk to you soon.
Cheers, Jess. Thanks very much.